Dashiell is listening, and that's okay with some Americans.
I would rather them go out and find out what the problems are instead of jumping right in with a plan without knowing what actually needs worked on.
Indiana resident Deanna Russell has met the leader of Obama's healthcare team face-to-face. Tom Daschle is just one of the new team coming to or coming back to Washington. It's time to get to know this new government. That's why we're here at The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Monday, January 8th, 2009, and today we're going to talk to two more of those people in Indiana who actually sat down with former Senator Tom Daschle to talk about health care.
Good morning, Adora.
Good morning, everyone. And also, Senator Barack Obama officially becomes President-elect Obama ahead of his inauguration. Also, confirmation hearings for his cabinet while they begin today. And the growing international pressure for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. Those stories are coming up. First, these headlines.
There's news this morning of a possible second front in the Mideast conflict. Lebanese militants have launched several rounds of rockets into northern Israel. This as fighting raged in Gaza, which is near Israel's southern border. Israeli forces have fired back into Lebanon. Police spokesman Mickey Rosenfeld says they were ready for a Lebanese attack.
We've heightened security in and around the northern border. There was an assessment that was made several days ago that there was always this possibility. But as of this morning, that's what took place in the northern border.
Lebanon's prime minister has condemned both the militant rocket fire and the Israeli counterattack. No one has claimed responsibility for the launches. Israel and Hezbollah fought a month-long war in 2006. Israel promises another brief pause in attacks to let aid supplies into Gaza today. This while international moves to broker a lasting ceasefire develop. Top Israelis are in Egypt to discuss a peace proposal. Cairo says Hamas and Palestinian Authority leaders will visit as well. Egypt United Nations Ambassador Maged Abdelaziz wants more help from America.
We would call on the United States to put more pressure on Israel to accept the Egyptian initiative and to save more lives of the Palestinian people.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says the U.S. officially backs the Egyptian-French ceasefire plan.
In Europe, there are still many with no Russian gas to get their heaters going.
We really hope that the Russians put the gas in the network, the Ukrainian network, and that the Ukrainians do not interrupt the gas from Russia to come to the European Union.
That's European Commission President José Manuel Barroso. The ongoing natural gas fight between Russia and Ukraine now threatens all of Europe. Much of the continent's natural gas comes from Russia through Ukraine. It all shut down yesterday, and now Russian and Ukrainian energy officials will negotiate in Brussels. The EU will mediate. We're standing by for a key economic indicator due out later this morning. We'll find out the latest on weekly unemployment claims, this ahead of a broader look at the job market coming out tomorrow. So far, the world markets are down. Major European indexes are lower this morning. Asian markets are all closed sharply lower.
The Dow and S&P lost around 3% yesterday. The Dow begins trading at 87.69. So we're meeting these new leaders of Barack Obama's governmental policy team. Tom Daschle is up today. What's job one in healthcare? Call us at 877-8MYTAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. This week, the newly sworn-in Congress is striving for a spirit of bipartisanship and cooperation, but perhaps there's a few signs the veneer is already cracking.
It is kind of in between your eyes, Mr. Cheney. After all you did, after all you said to Democrats and to Mr. Obama, look what is happening here today. You have to preside over the final part of this election that will seat him.
That's California Congresswoman Maxine Waters talking about Vice President Dick Cheney, who today will formally sign off on the electoral vote count, officially making Barack Obama the president-elect. Todd Zillick from Capital News Connection joins us now. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning.
Is that a more frustration at the Bush administration from Representative Waters, or is that a sign of what's to come between Democrats and Republicans as they move forward this year?
It sounds to me like a little bit of gloating, really. Maxine Waters has a long history in the Congress and a long history with Republicans, so she's probably gloating a little bit. But it's certainly not in keeping with the spirit of bipartisan cooperation and friendliness that a lot of people have been making an effort to display in this, you know, in the first week of the 111th Congress. Now, what she was talking about, of course, was the official counting of the electoral votes in a joint session of Congress. Barack Obama, by the way, is not the president-elect, not yet, not until this afternoon. After those votes are certified. So I think Waters is probably letting out some of her frustrations and, yeah, a little bit of gloating.
And so that's coming from the House. And then in the Senate, you have Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who's scheduled to vote for this weekend, which he knows senators loathe to vote on the weekend, certainly not handing out an olive branch.
The first vote of the new Congress for the Senate, and it's going to be on a Sunday. You're exactly right. This is an old fight between Reid, the majority leader, and Senator Tom Coburn, the conservative budget hawk from Oklahoma. It's an old bill from last year, a package of 140 or so smaller bills all wrapped up together on a public lands bill, national parks, federal land and how they're used, different programs for them. Coburn thinks it's a waste of money, and that's fine. But Reid, as they get into these procedural fights, as often happens in the Senate, it's completely normal, Reid has said, fine, Coburn, you want to have your delays? We're going to vote on Sunday. And senators, when you're all on the floor Sunday voting and you're not with your families, you'll know who to thank. It's Tom Coburn. So there's already this – it seems a lot like the old Congress in this new cooperative Congress. This first week, they're getting off on a little bit of a bad foot, I think.
Is there anything Coburn can do this time around to thwart this vote on Sunday?
Well, he's already doing it. That's why they're voting on Sunday, because Reid is getting his vote in there, his procedural vote, at the earliest possible time. It'd be very easy just to get unanimous consent and let it wait until Monday. That's
Todd,
easy to do, but they're not doing it.
Todd, this is a sort of sketch of what could be a fairly protracted conflict between the Democratic leadership in the Senate and Republicans. But are there any policy implications other than missing football games on Sunday?
Not on this one. There aren't a whole lot, unless you live next to a national park or you're a planner for federal lands. It's a relatively obscure bill, to be honest. This is one of these internecine fights that happened in the Senate, and this is an old battle, and I think you're seeing some frustrations bleed over from last year.
But I guess what I'm asking is, if this continues, is it going to have an effect on judicial appointments and all the sort of dramas that we're so tired of in Washington?
If it continues, John, there's no question that it will have that effect. However, this question was put to the minority leader, Mitch McConnell, who's Coburn's leader, yesterday, saying, hey, I thought the acrimony was supposed to be gone for at least the first little bit here. Why are you guys reverting to the old ways? And he didn't take up Coburn's fight at all. He said, look, Coburn has the right to object. Don't read anything into it. This isn't a new acrimonious spirit. This is just Reid and Coburn going at it. So he's not latching on to this and joining the fight. So I think at least the leadership is trying to avoid this bleeding over into the bigger job that has to be done.
Let's talk about another element there on Capitol Hill, something of a shifting of the winds, I think, when it comes to Roland Burris, the Senate appointee from Illinois, who was appointed by the embattled Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. Harry Reid several weeks ago said, no way are we going to seat anyone appointed by that governor. But now it seems as if Roland Burris may be on his way after a meeting with Harry Reid yesterday to being ultimately seated.
That's right. Well, Harry Reid does have a history of saying no way, not going to happen, no way, and then somehow it happens about a week later. So this might be one of those examples, but it seems like the Democratic leadership was running out of reasons to keep Burris out of the Senate. Now, they haven't said he'll be seated. They've given him a path to be seated, but there still are ways to fall off that path. As you know, he has to go back to Illinois today and testify and do all those things and come back with a certification. However, when he does come back, it's probably going to go to the Rules Committee. And very quickly, there's a wrinkle here. The leader of the Rules Committee right now is Dianne Feinstein. She has said Burris should probably be seated. However, the Senate hasn't reorganized its committees yet. They're in the process of doing that. If the Burris nomination goes to Rules while Feinstein is still in charge, likely to go quickly. However, the new chairman, Chuck Schumer, a member of the leadership and a Reid ally.
And that could be an entirely different story, but certainly looks like he could be on his way. And, of course, we will turn to you for the updates on that story. Todd Zwillick, thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Todd Zwillick, a reporter for Capital News Connection, reporting from Washington.
And as Go-Go Todd Zwillick said, score one for Roland Burris on his first road trip to Washington. Looks like he's doing pretty well in Washington, but he's back home for a contest in the home stadium there in Springfield, Illinois. And joining us for a further discussion of the Roland Burris drama is Amanda Vinicky, our pal from Springfield, Illinois, State House reporter for Illinois Public Radio, WUIS. Amanda, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So Burris is back to testify in the impeachment drama that's going on in the legislature. What is Burris's play here? Is it to defend himself or to take down Blagojevich, to help the Illinois legislature take down Blagojevich?
You know, I think at this point he's probably worried about himself. And I think he does have some questions to answer. You have Republicans who called him to come before this committee in the first place. And they say that they want to hear from him about the at least $20,000 in campaign contributions that he's given to Blagojevich over the years. And that doesn't count what is not yet public because filings haven't had to be made in terms of what contributions he's made in the past 6 months or so. They want to hear about connections between Burris's law firm and consulting firm and lobbying firm and Patty Blagojevich, the governor's wife. And there is a connection there with Burris's partner for this firm and him. Perhaps there are questions if he helped Patty Blagojevich get a job as a not-for-profit development director. There's all sorts of questions swirling around here in terms of everybody says Roland Burris is a great guy, great public servant. But you do have Republicans raising some questions saying, wait a second, could there be a quid pro quo? We're talking about a governor who tried to sell a seat. How can we be guaranteed that that did not happen in this case with Roland Burris?
Well, this, if it gets really murky, will keep the Illinois legislature away from the main event, and that is getting around to dealing with Rod Blagojevich himself. And here, Republican Representative Susan Bassey is expressing some significant impatience that, you know, they're not moving faster on that. Listen.
He's been already cut off by the Homeland Security people. He's cost us 20-some million dollars because of his trials and tribulations. You guys, we're beating a dead horse here. For goodness sakes, let's get moving on this.
What does Representative Bassey want to get moving on?
You know, she wants to get moving on impeachment. I think that a lot of the lawmakers are hearing pressure from the public and saying, we need to get this guy out of here. And also you have legislators saying the longer that Rod Blagojevich is in office and maintains the power as governor to do things in terms of signing laws, appointing senators, budgeting, what have you, that the worse it is for the state. They say we need to get this embattled governor out of here and stop playing games. That, again, Representative Bassey is a Republican, and it was Republicans who called Burris and are kind of delaying it. Delay, I guess, is that the impeachment panel is waiting to hear today as well from a judge if they will be allowed to have released to them some of the recorded phone conversations on which Governor Blagojevich is supposedly scheming for bribes
right. And
such.
And
so
sort of
we're waiting
conflict.
To hear if that's that'll be allowed.
That's the conflict with the federal investigation. All right, quickly, let's go back to scenarios. If Burris survives his interaction with the Springfield legislature on the question of his relationship with the governor, and the governor is impeached, does Burris get reappointed by the lieutenant governor, or do they find another candidate? How's this going to work really quickly?
It's all up in the air, and nobody really knows at this point.
Oh, darn it. Oh, man.
But I don't think so. I think the governor is governor right now. He has the legal rights. Right now, it's up to the Illinois Supreme Court to decide if the Secretary of State, Jesse White, has to sign this document to get Burris seated by the U.S. Senate.
So maybe it's score one for Burris in Springfield as well. Amanda Vinicky, thanks so much for being on the program. State House reporter for Illinois Public Radio, WUIS. Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.